Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. Amen. Thank God for his rod and his staff. And the rod represents the word of God, and the staff represents the spirit of God. And so we have both the word of God and the spirit of God to lead us through this valley of the shadow of death. People a lot of times use Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, at funerals. That's a very popular psalm to be used at funerals, you know, because it does mention the valley of the shadow of death. But really, you don't have to wait for a funeral because we're in the valley. In this world is the valley of the shadow of death. Death has cast its shadow on everything in this world. But we have no fear. We have no fear of death, no worries. We're walking right through this thing. His rod and his staff, they comfort. His word and his spirit. His word and his spirit comfort us. And it's interesting that it puts the rod before the staff, the word before the spirit, because you have to put the word above everything in life. The word has to be first place in our lives. It has to be number one in all things. That's how it is with God. That's how it needs to be with you and I. If you put the spirit ahead of the word, which a lot of people do, they get off. Things get weird. Things get flaky. Things get out of order. Things just go wrong. And there is no life being produced when ministries or people's lives are built on the spirit. It needs to be built on the word and the spirit. But word first. You know, a lot of times people will emphasize praying. You know, prayer. We need to pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. We need to be a people of prayer. But prayer needs to be built on the word of God. We need to make sure that we're praying in line with the scriptures. A lot of folks are praying, but the prayers are ineffective. It's a lot of emotion, it's a lot of sincerity, but it's also not accurate. It's not in line with God's way of doing things. They're not praying according to the word of God. So in all things, we got to put the word first place. The word number one in all things. The word above all. The word above everything. Even your own opinion. Ay, ay, ay. It is a tough one. But you got to put the word above it. You got to put the word above your own opinions or even above the opinions of people that you highly esteem in life. I don't care who they are. You got to come back to you and say, now, where's that in the word? What does the word say about what they're saying? You got to make sure that everything lines up with the word, because it's the word that's going to keep us on track in life. In other words, it's the word that's going to keep us on the path of life. It's going to keep us in God's plan for our life so that we can accomplish what we were actually created for. That we're not just drifting through life, bouncing around in life, but we've got direction, we're on course, we're following God's plan, we're prospering, we're succeeding in what we put our hands to. And we all want to do that, don't we? We all want to succeed in life. So we have to keep the word of God first place. Before people get off and get things wrong in life, they got away from the word of God. If we stay committed to the word of God and keep the word of God as the final authority in our life, it will keep us on track. Even if we get off track, we'll get back on track. Because if we come back to the word will show us where we've missed it. The word will light up our path and show us where we missed it and where we need to get things right. And so we're talking about staying with the word. We're talking about building our lives on the word of God. We've been talking about it for the last couple weeks. We looked at 1 Peter chapter 1 in verse 24 where it says, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. We all got flesh. Everything that we could see in this world came from the earth, came from the dirt. God formed it out of the dirt of this planet. And the Bible says it falls away. It fades away. Everything in the natural corrodes and dies eventually. But there's something here in this world, and we need to have it in our life, that endures forever, that continues forever, that remains, that continues. And that is the Word of the Lord. The Word of the Lord endures forever. So, you know, things are always changing around us in the world, but the more things change in the world, the more they remain the same in the Word. You know, it doesn't matter. We live in this generation now. There's all this technology, you know. There's all this technology. And so this is a different generation. This is a different time than we've ever seen, you know. So we got to do everything different now. And so even churches are changing the way they do things because of things are so different in this time that we're living in. And so a lot of churches are trying to adapt themselves to the culture that's around them in order to reach people. And so you have to use a lot of things that buzz and beep and blink and, you know, because that's what people are used to. You got all kinds of stuff now. So people are very addicted to electronics. And so therefore we need to change. No. The Word, though the world is ever changing and evolving around us, God's Word is still the same. We still need to build our basic beliefs and our customs and our culture on the Word of God. We build our lives on the Word of God, not on the ever-changing world around us. If we follow the world around us, we're going to get as screwy as the world is. I'm talking about the church. The church world don't need to be as screwy as the world is around us. Right? We don't need to be in this confusion when we have the Word of God. We got light. When we got the Word, we got light. And we see and know what is right. So the more things are changing in the world around us, we got to remind ourselves, the more things stay the same in the Word. And I'm just going to stay steady, stay with the Word of God. I'll get my iPad and I'll get my iPhone, but I'm staying with the Word. I'll take advantage of technology, thank you very much, but I'm going to build my life on the Word. I'm not going to get weird and change. I'm not going to allow Apple or Pear or anybody else to dictate to me how I'm supposed to think and live my life. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to get so caught up in Facebook that I don't have time to put my face in the book. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep our face in the book. And that's going to keep us on track. We're not going to listen to all. There's so many voices now that could talk to you in a day, right? We've got so many voices that could speak to us in a day. Let's stay with what the voice of the Lord is saying. Let's stay with what is God actually saying to us. Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, in the Contemporary English Bible, it says, I say to you very seriously, that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Everything in the Word becomes a reality. In other words, the Word is more sure than the very earth you're standing on. The Word is more sure than the sun that comes up faithfully every day and sets faithfully every night. The Word of God is more sure. All those things would pass away before this Word goes away. Think about that. That's why we have to stay with the Word. Psalm 12 we looked at in verse 6. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Notice that. The words of the Lord are pure words. Pure. 100% pure. Nothing artificial. No, nothing fake. No extra flavoring. No yellow 12 or red 3 or yellow 6. There's nothing in there harmful. There's nothing in there that is corruptible, it is pure. Everybody say, God's word is pure. Isn't that nice? We live in a world of a very impure, this is a very impure world that we live in. Very impure world, very impure. But thank God there's something that's totally pure. 100% pure. Pure God. Pure good. Pure truth. Pure life. Pure light. No shadow. No darkness. Nothing evil. Nothing. Nothing tainted with death. Just pure life. There's nothing in the world like it. There's nothing in the world like the Word of God. And so when you are a partaker of it, it purifies you. See the Word. Notice again, it says the Word of the Lord is, the words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried or tested. Tested. God's Word is tested. It's been tested like silver. Tested in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. And so when we ingest it into our spirit first, and then it works its way into our soul and into our body, into our minds, it renews our mind. It has a purifying work on our entire life. There's nothing in the world that can purify you like this, because there's nothing in the world as pure as this. There's nothing in the world as pure as the Word of God. So we take in things that are tainted all the time. But God's Word is perfect, tested, proven, pure. So you put it in you and you become what you eat. Have you ever heard that before? Right? It's that way in the natural. You become what you eat. People need to think about that more often before they put stuff in their mouth and say, do I want to be this? Huh? Do I want to be Blue Six? Because what goes in you starts working in you and becomes you. It's what replaces cells in your body that die off, and that's what you're made of. You're made physically, you're made of the food that you eat. And so a lot of folks have problems physically, and many times I think it's because of overeating, but a lot of times it's just wrong eating. People are putting stuff in their body, and the body's going, I don't know what to do with this. What, I don't know how to use this. How can you use this stuff? It wasn't made to be used. It was just made to taste good. Oh. Oh, what do we do with it? Well, just stick it over here. Stick it over here. That's what happens. And so the body doesn't know what to do with this stuff, man. Because there's stuff going in there that doesn't belong there. And that's what people are becoming. They're becoming what they're eating physically. So you need to read labels, find out what's in there, and try to find the most natural, purest stuff there is. Spiritually, it's the same way. Spiritually, it's the same way. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, if you can read the ingredients on the back of the word. 100% pure word. 100% God. Hallelujah. Put that in your spirit. And just like physical food affects you physically, your spiritual food affects you spiritually. And people are they're reading all kinds of material. They get online and they Google all kinds of crazy doctrines. This is an interesting doctrine. And they're consuming it into their spirit. And what do you think's happening to their spirit? The spirit's getting weird. The spirit's getting out of shape, and the spirit gets off, and next thing you know, people are believing all kinds of funny, wild stuff that is not the truth, because they're not being sticklers for the word. They're not sticking with the word of God and making sure that what they're looking at agrees with the scriptures. So, you know, before you start reading a bunch of stuff, read the word of God. I don't know why it's so hard for Christians to read the Word of God. You know, so many Christians, you ask, have you read through the Bible? A lot of folks will say, yes, it's a knee-jerk reaction. Then you find out, well, I skipped Leviticus, I skipped the half of this, and I skipped the last. Actually, I really haven't read the whole thing through yet. And how old are you now in the Lord? Well, I'm about 20 years old as a Christian. Not good. Not good. Boy, it got quiet on that one. We got to fix that. That is a weak Christian, spiritually. That is not right. First thing we got to feed on is the Word of God. In fact, in the book of Acts, it talks about where Paul the Apostle came into a certain city and he was ministering the revelations that he had received from God. And there were people in that city that when he finished ministering, they went and they searched the scriptures to see whether or not these things were true or not. Not to find fault in him, but to find out, is this really the truth? Because they were amazed by what they were hearing. They believed what they were hearing. They believed the word they heard being preached, but they didn't stop there. They went and made sure this is really in the scriptures. So we're believing. Yes, I believe this word, but where is it actually in the Bible? See, you've got to know it. That's called getting rooted in the Word of God. You've got to get rooted in the Word, or get the Word of God rooted in you. You can't just hear it a couple times and think, man, I believe that. Well, if pastor said it, I believe it. Or if Reverend so-and-so said it, or if Brother so-and-so said it, man, I just believe it because, they live a great life. That's not good enough. You got to take what you're hearing, go back and study it out. And search the scriptures. Search the scriptures. You say, it just seems so hard. You're not alone. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, have faith in the Holy Spirit who will lead you and guide you through this truth. The truth of God's word. You're not on your own. You're not supposed to try to figure it out. The word isn't to be figured out. The word is to be understood by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He comes and he teaches you. So you approach it that way. You say, Holy Spirit, teach me these things that I'm hearing. I want to know them better. I want to really know them. I want to know that I know that I know that I know them. So help me to search the scriptures and to study these things out. But we need to study the Word of God. Not just casually read it. We need now to learn to study God's word. And as we do, as we study his word is pure and it'll have a purifying effect on our life. Again, the words of the Lord are pure words like silver tried or tested in a furnace of earth. Earth. How many people know you live in an earthen vessel? Your body is made from the dirt, like we said. And so you live in this earthen vessel, and the Spirit of God is in you, and the Word of God is in you. And so notice, God's Word is tried in a furnace of earth. Well, in the same way God's Word is tried and proven in life, it's also being tried and proven in you. It's trying, it's testing, and proving you. It will purify you. It will test you. We see that in Psalm 105. Psalm 105, verse 18, it says, talking about Joseph. How many people remember Joseph, who's the son of Jacob, who's the son of Isaac? And Joseph was taken down to Egypt. Remember, his brothers threw him in a pit and then sold him off as a slave. And then as a slave, he was lied about and he was thrown in prison. And then, after being in prison for a while, he ended up in the palace being second to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the world power of that time. And so Joseph, going back in his life when he was younger, God had spoken things to him in a dream. God had showed him some things. And so God's word had come to him, and he had that word in him. And then he went through all these trials and all these tests. And the Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 18, they hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. So he had been in prison for years. Before that, he was a slave for years. But years back, before that, he had received this word from the Lord. He had a word from God. And here it says, the word of the Lord tested him. It tested him. That word tested, in the original Hebrew, it means to prove true, refine, purge away. Goldsmith, when you look up this word tested, goldsmith, a goldsmith is someone who makes objects from gold. Smelt, that means to extract, usually metal, from its ore by a process involving heating and melting. So the word tested him, it smelt him, it refined him. It purged him. See, Joseph wasn't all that pure as a lot of folks think he was. They think, well, God had all these things happen to Joseph because in the end God had this plan of, making him king of Egypt, which is king of the known world. And so, a lot of people just think, it was just God, his sovereignty, he just put Joseph through it, man. He had Joseph as a slave. He had Joseph in prison. God just did all these. God don't do those things. That's not consistent with Scripture. That's not accurate. See, that's why a lot of folks, they haven't moved over into the New Testament to be able to rightly divide and understand the Scriptures in the Old Testament. See? But we come over to the New Testament, and we know that if we don't see Jesus doing it, then we know God is the Father isn't doing it. Because Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus came, and he revealed that Satan is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that'll try to make a slave out of you. He's the one that'll try to oppress you. He is the oppressor. God is not an oppressor, but has a plan of blessing. He oppresses you for a little while, but in the end, it's to bless you. God don't oppress you at all. God doesn't need to oppress us. We got enough oppressive things in this world to do the job. And we do a good number on ourselves. We do a good work of oppressing ourselves by missing it, by getting away from God's word. God's word doesn't oppress. God's word will bless if you follow it, if you obey it. God's word will bless you. It will not oppress you. God's in the blessing business, not in the oppressing business. Right? Acts chapter 10. The Bible says that Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God. See, that's the New Testament. All that was oppressed of the devil. So God is not in the oppressing business. He's not an oppressor. He's in the blessing business. But Joseph, he caused a lot of his own problems. You say, how's that? Well, here God gives him this word. He has this dream, and he sees that someday he's going to be standing in a very exalted position where even his brothers and his parents will come. The day will come where they'll actually bow down in honor of him. They will honor him to that degree. Well, he just went out and shared it with his brother. He was kind of bragging on it. I had this dream, and he's kind of rubbing it in, the great things, that how God's going to use him, and how even someday you guys are going to bow down to me, honoring me, your youngest brother. He didn't like that. As it was, they didn't like him. As it was, his brothers were already jealous of him. He had 10 brothers that were very, very jealous of him and did not like him, and then he's going out there rubbing it in. See? He wasn't very smart. Well, that's what got him in trouble. That pride got him thrown into a pit and then sold off as a slave. While he's a slave, he is prospering. God's hand is upon his life. And next thing you know, he's put into a position in Potiphar's house, his slave owner's house, where he is over everything. He calls the shots in the house. He decides what all the other servants are going to do today. He decides everybody's chores. And so he decides today that everybody's going to work outside and I'm going to be the only one in the house. And just so happened, there's a woman, it's the wife of Potiphar, who has a problem, to say the least. She's got eyes for Joseph. This woman is full of lust and adultery, and she is after him. She wants him. She's attracted to him, and he knows it because she keeps pestering him. She keeps saying, come on, Joseph, come on, Joseph. She's trying to lure him into an inappropriate relationship. And Joseph's like, no, 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 no. But today he's going to go ahead and he's going to put all the servants outside and he's going to be in the house alone with this woman. Now, he has no intentions of committing adultery with her, but he's playing with her. He's playing with this. He's playing with this. He likes, obviously, you know, being liked. I remember a song in the world when I was a heathen, and it went something like this. I want you to want me. I need you to need me. I beg you to beg me. Oh, I don't know what the rest of it was. Anyway, if you've never heard the song, do not look it up. But anyhow, I want you to, people, it's many times people just, it's the ego. They just want to be wanted. They just like being looked at. They just like being wanted, even though I would never actually do anything. That's kind of where Joseph was. And you know what? That's still sin. It's still sin. It's still wrong. And so Joseph was playing with this situation, and it got him in trouble. She got out of control. He runs out of the house. He don't have his clothes because she tore something off of him, his robe. He goes running out of the house. She doesn't know what to do. She panics and says, he came in here and tried to rape me. And next thing you know, Joseph's in prison. And then it says, but the Lord had mercy on Joseph. Now, why do you have to have mercy on someone that didn't do anything wrong? But the Lord had mercy on Joseph because he put himself in that situation. He could have avoided that. And he didn't avoid it. He brought that on himself. See, the devil took full advantage of it. And now he's in prison. So we see pride. We see, you know, things there that just are not qualities, not godly qualities in Joseph. But the word was in his heart. He believed the word. He worshiped God. He loved God. He wanted to follow God. He was a man of faith. And as a result of that, that word, that tested and proven and purified word, was working a purifying work in his life. It was refining him through all the trials and tests he was going through, even the ones he put himself into. The word was refining him. The word was testing him. Again, Psalm 105 in verse 20, it says, no, in verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. What do you mean? It refined him. It purged him. It worked like a goldsmith on him. Doing what? Taking out of him, extracting from him the faith that was in him, the precious gold of heaven that was in him. The word was working in him by the process, by a process involving heating and melting. He was getting heated up. Things were melting away. God was transforming his life from the inside out. Now, you know, you look at gold and, you know, people that are searching for gold, they dig down deep into the earth and they cut through rock to try to find gold. And when they get down in there, they don't see this beautiful, shiny bar of gold. You don't see gold coins. You remember cartoons growing up, you know? People discover gold, and it's like a big pile of coins, gold coins. Wouldn't that be nice? But actually, that's not how it is. It's in rock or sediment, and it's hard to see the gold. I have a picture for you to illustrate it. So there is gold ore, it's called. So the gold is in that rock and in that sediment. And it has to be extracted out. How many of you know, you and I are living in these bodies. And these bodies are a part of a very corrupt world. And the Bible says our flesh of itself cannot please God. And yet inside these earthen vessels, inside, underneath all this sediment, underneath all this rock, this hardness towards God, there's gold. And there's gold in you. That's why you're in here. Because there's something in you. And you see a little, you can see little pieces of the gold coming through that rock or that sediment that we're looking at. And that's how so many of us are. We're covered with all this stuff, and there's all these things that are contrary to the Word, contrary to God. All these impurities, all these things that are weights and hindrances in our life, things that rob us of our true value, our true beauty, our true brilliance, our true majesty that the Lord has placed in us by making us new creations. Man, there's gold on the inside of us. But we need to be refined. We need to be purified. This rock, this ore, this gold ore needs to go through this process of being heated up and melted, as we see in this next picture, to the point where it's liquefied. And this is what the Word is doing in us if we'll let it. It's purifying us. It's burning in us. It's purging us of those things that rob us of what we really are on the inside. God sees gold. God's working. Man, He's working on us as we yield ourselves to His Word. See, everything is done according to His Word or by His Word. If we resist His Word, the work's not getting done. We have to give ourselves to the Word. We have to yield ourselves to the Word. We have to learn the Word. We have to study the Word. And as we study and believe and stay with the work, with the Word of God, it is refining us. It is purifying us. It is burning things off. It is melting things away. And so the next one we see, you know, this liquid fire, liquid gold is what you actually see there being poured into these bars. And then do we have another picture of bars of gold? That's it. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people have seen gold. Then you've got these beautiful bars of gold rather than just this thing that looks like a worthless piece of rock, a worthless hard piece of rock. We're not to live our lives like a bunch of worthless pieces of rock. Are you hearing me? We got to allow ourselves to go through the fire. Not you see, people think it's through the fire of trials and tests. No, it's the fire of the Word of God. It's the testing of the Word of God that's going to purify us. You can go through trials and tests and they'll kill you. You can go through trials and tests and they'll destroy you. You can go through trials and tests and they'll just burn you up and reduce you down to nothing. They'll just wear you out and ruin you. Not all trials and tests have a positive work in people's lives. It's only the trials and tests that we go through in faith in God's Word. It's God's work that does the purifying work in the trials and tests of life. So you got to have the Word. You got to adhere and cling to the Word of God. The Bible says through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse 29, he says, "Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" What is God's word like? It's like a fire. It's like a fire, just like we just saw, just like that furnace we just saw, just like we saw here, where that that rock was going through that process of being melted away from the gold. God's word is like a fire, if we'll let it be. If we'll really take God at his word. A lot of times people don't. People just like the water of the word. They just like the water of the word. They just like to wash in the water of the word. Numbers 31. Notice this. It says in verse 22, only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire. And it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water. Or we could say water only. Notice that. This isn't really just talking about minerals found in the earth, these metals found in the earth. This is talking about humans. Number one, notice he says, everything that can endure the fire, you shall put through the fire. Not everybody can endure the fire. Not everybody can endure the fire. What do you mean? Not everybody has that gold of faith on the inside of them. And so when the fire hits them, man, it offends them. They just get burned. They get unhappy. They get mad. And they turn against you. Talk about people. There's people, you preach the truth of God's word and you just lay it out there like fire, because his word is like fire, right? Or like a hammer. And there's a lot of folks that don't want to hear it. They don't like it. It bothers them. Then there's people that when they hear the word of God, and it's really getting down to the nitty-gritty of their life, and it's dealing with stuff. I mean, it's dealing with things in their life that their flesh likes. And it's dealing with it like as to burn it off of their life, as to purge their life free of it. And so that word comes forth and starts dealing with these things, starts meddling with things that people have clung to most of their life, things that people think they need for their joy and their peace and their happiness. And the word's saying, no, 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 no. God's your joy. God's your peace. God's your happiness. Let's just loose you from that. Let's just burn that off of you. Let's just melt that away. So I can transform you and change you, purify you, make you more like me, pure. And so many times people go, oh. And now they get offended. Now they get mad. And some will rise up and become persecutors of the word of God. And the word that was to bless has now become really a curse to them because of their rejection of the word. They could not handle the fire. They could not handle the fire. But then there's those that have faith in them. And the word starts dealing with their idols. And the word starts dealing with their flesh. And the word starts dealing with their bad habits and their addictive ways. And what happens to these folks? Their faith rises up. Something on the inside gets happy while they're hurting. There's something that gets happy on the inside. The flesh is going, I'm melting. What a world, what a world, what a world, you know. The flesh is melting away, you know. But then there's this guy on the inside. There's this faith on the inside that's going, yeah, that's good. Man, I need to hear this. That is a good word. That is a good word. Right? Woo, that's like a hammer. Man, thank you, Jesus. That is a good word right there. And they appreciate it. They appreciate the correction. They appreciate the rebuke. They appreciate it because they're getting purged. They're getting clean. They're getting purified. They're getting free. Hallelujah. They want to get free of themselves. to be free of me. And so that's what faith cries out for. So faith delights in the purging. Whoo, it's like, yeah. It's like, you know, sometimes it's just like those torches, you know, those fire, what are they called? A flamethrower. It's like, whoa, pastor, this is a good word. Whoo! Then there's other people just, you know, they get singed. And, oh, they don't like you. They don't like you. Praise the Lord Jesus. But thank God, God's always good. He's always, no, some of you are laughing. Why? Because it's the water. He comes with the fire hose. Cool you off a little bit. Then the blowtorch. And then the fire hose. And what's happening? You're being purified. Why? So we get all the sediment off you. We get all the hardness off you. And we get you shining like pure gold. Pure gold. Hempy want to be pure. Pure. Oh. Man, I want to be pure. Man, I just want to be so clean. I don't want dirt on me. I don't want anything to hold me back from Jesus. I don't want anything that keeps me from being who I really am. I don't want things keeping me in fear, keeping me bound. I don't want weights and things that cover me and clothe me with something that is less than what I've been created to be. I want to be all that I can be. Don't you? Amen. Now, a lot don't. They don't. But they don't want to leave God altogether. And they don't want to leave the Word altogether. Because they believe. They believe in God. They believe in the Word. And so they just go to watering holes. And they drink. And they wash. And they drink. And they wash. But there's no fire. There's a lot of places where there's no fire these days. There's no fire. But that's not a balanced church. That's not a balanced house of God, because our God is a consuming fire. And whatever we don't deal with now, we're going to deal with someday. The day's going to come where people, they didn't allow the fire to purge them in this life, and then they're going to stand before him. And what that's going to be like, I do not know. It's going to be intense. People, the Bible says, they'll be saved, but it'll be as though going through fire. Literally, like going through fire. Let's not have that happen to us. Let's go ahead and let God purge us now. Let him work in us. Let his word work in us now and purify us now. And we can get washed in the word, and we receive the fire of the word, and we receive the water of the word, and we receive the fire of the word, and we just take it all. The good and the harsh. We got to let God come sometimes with the Brillo. Let's let God's word purify us and cleanse us. And God's so good. He mixes the water in there just at the right time. And we're not going to burn up if we'll obey him. Now, an example of a guy who didn't obey was the rich young ruler. A lot of people know who I'm talking about. Here is a guy. He came to Jesus and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he's all excited. He's happy. He's a very happy young man. And Jesus says to him, "Well, you know the commandments. You know, honor your father and your mother." And mentions a few of the different commandments. And his response was, "I've been doing that from my youth. I've been doing that." So the man's he's a doer of the word, right? He loves the word. He's a doer of the word. And then Jesus looked at him. The Bible said, Jesus looking at him, loving him, said to him, "If you want to be perfect," or "if you want to be purified, then sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come take up your cross and follow me." And because he had so many possessions, he thought, "I can't sell everything I have. I can't just give this all away. Why? It's my life. This is what my life has been built on. This is my world right here. You're telling me for me to be purified, for me to be perfect, I have to let go of these things? and follow you? I can't do that. And the Bible says he hung his head and walked away sorrowful. He was sad. He went away from Jesus sad. And you know what? I believe he's still sad today. That's the sad thing about it. Because if he had followed Jesus, Jesus would have purified him and prospered him from the inside out. Isn't that right? Life would have been a whole lot different, a whole lot better for him if he was able to let go of these idols that the material things of this world had become to this man. But he's unwilling to do it, unwilling to let go. We have to watch. You know, there'll be times in our life we'll come up to a certain point, we're walking with God, I'm obeying his commandments, I'm doing this, and then he deals with us about something. No more of that. Fast this. Put this away. I can't do that. I can't do that. Listen, folks, they can't even fast certain things for like a week. I can't do this. Boom, you just put a spiritual ceiling over your life. You just limited the purifying work of God in your life. You just limited how much the Word can purify you when you do that. You got to have no ceilings. You got to say, hey, if it's God, I'll do it. Wherever he wants me to go, I will go. I'm not going to be so married to something that I can't let it go. I'm not going to be so married to something that I can't live without it now. I'm not going to get to a place where God blesses me with things and then those things become so important to me that I can't continue to follow the one that gave me those things to begin with. Got to be willing to let go of it all. You keep yourself in check this way by worshiping God, by constantly presenting yourself as a living sacrifice to him, by constantly surrendering yourself to him and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. You keep yourself ready to let go of things. You keep yourself ready to take hold of things and do whatever it is that your flesh might look at as inconvenient and difficult. Too bad. We got to do what we got to do to follow God. Got to be willing to let go. Got to be willing to let go. And sometimes we'll be tested. Tested, let go of this. Just let go of that. Abraham was tested, wasn't he? When it came to Isaac, God said, give me your son, your only son. Offer him up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, this is the son I've been believing for. You understand? I mean, I've gotten in faith about this, and I received this son from you as a blessing. And so now this is my son. Great. Offer him up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Well, according to the scriptures, Abraham didn't even hesitate. He didn't even hesitate. Now, if you watch Abraham the movie, you might get a different picture. You'll get a heathen producer's interpretation of what he thinks must have happened when God asked for his son. And in the movie, you know, you see the actor stand up and he goes, no! No! He's just so mad at God. But he does it. He does it. He goes, he does it. He's mad as could be. I'll do it. I'll kill him. But no, Abraham had faith in God and he recognized everything he had belonged to God. God, and if God can get this son to him through all the adversities and everything that he went through to have that son, then God can raise him from the dead. But God's going to keep his word to me. That word tested him, proved him, refined him, perfected him. I'm talking about Abraham. Because Abraham let his word do that kind of work in his life. Let's let God's word do its work. Let's let God's word do its work, man. But I think that's a reason why unconsciously people avoid the word and don't have time for the word. Or, you know, listen, your flesh does not want the word. Because why? Because it melts away. It loses its power when you get in the word. When you get in the word, the flesh gets weaker. I'm not talking about your physical strength. I'm talking about your fleshiness. the worldliness that is with the flesh, those things get weak. They start losing its power, the opinionated flesh. The loving itself flesh gets weaker and weaker and weaker as you get in the Word. So that's why it'll try to sit on you every time. It'll try to sit down on you every time you try to stand up and get in the Word. All of a sudden, it's amazing how people get so heavy. When you get around the Word, you know, their eyeballs can't even stay open. It's the flesh. It's rebellious. But, you know, get on a cycle or something while you're reading the Word. Do something. Put yourself on the edge of your seat so that you know if you sleep, you fall. But fight. Fight the flesh, right? Didn't Jesus say the spirit is willing, but the flesh? Flesh is weak. It goes weak on you. Now, it doesn't go weak on you when you're doing something fleshy. Does the flesh get weak on you when you do something fleshy? No, the flesh gets, it rises up, you know? It's called hype. Gets hyped up. Gets pumped up, right? That's what the media does. They use a lot of hype. They do things to get the flesh going. A lot of bells and whistles, a lot of noise. The world likes it noisy. The flesh likes things noisy. It's noisy. It's noisy. What's going on over there? What's that noise? There's an attraction. There's something happening. I hear something. There's something shiny. What's that happening over there? And that's the flesh. The flesh gets all fired up. And then you take out the Word. No. No. And so, you know, churches have learned. If you want people to come and you want people to pay attention, keep it shiny. Keep it exciting. Keep it light. Keep it selfish. Amen. Teach them how to be a Christian that gets to keep his life and love himself. Because learning to love yourselves is the greatest love of all. So that's the love we're going to talk about today. Talking about the loving your life. You're so important. God has such a plan for your life. You're so special. You're so wonderful. Right? We like that. Yes. 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 Oh, didn't I tell you to get the wonderful special that's there? I've got to purge a bunch of things off of you. Right? I hope you're having fun. I am. You'll learn to enjoy it. Just stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Don't jump out. Don't get singed on me. Amen. Don't get singed on me. Praise the Lord Jesus. Get refined. Just let God refine you. Praise God forever. Ooh, hallelujah. Learn to love it. Learn to love the transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, God's word is my life. I build my life on the word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32. You ready for some water? I'm going to give you some water. Here we go. Just letting you know up front. We've gone through some fire. Now we're going to go through some water. Deuteronomy 32, verse 46. And he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing. It's not an empty, vain thing for you, because it is, talking about the word, it is your life. And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will what? What does he say? You shall prolong your days. You shall prolong your days. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Man, God's word is good, isn't it? God's word in your heart, in your life, is going to purge you of everything the valley of death is casting over you. It's going to get that shadow of death off of you. It's going to cause light to come through you. It's going to cause truth to come through you. And it's going to affect your very health. It's going to affect the condition of your body. It's going to make you more healthy, more happy, more healthy, so you can live a long and strong, fulfilling life. Don't you want that? So the purging is freeing you to be free from all these things that would rob you of a long and strong and happy and healthy life. Somebody say, I'm staying with the Word. Got to stay with the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. God's word is what is upholding everything. If you want your life to be upheld through the storms of life, then be full of the word of God. The word upholds everything. The Amplified says it this way. Upholding and maintaining and propelling, talking about the word of God, upholding and maintaining and propelling all things, the entire physical and spiritual universe by his powerful word. This is the word that we have here with us this morning. It's upholding everything. It is our life. It is health to our flesh. The contemporary English version says, by his own mighty word, he holds the universe together. Think about that. By his own mighty word, he holds the universe together. And finally, Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything has been framed out by the word of God. Everything in the universe is being upheld by the word of God. The ESV translation, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Not just the earth, but the worlds, the universe was created by the word of God. Hallelujah. Don't you love the word? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You got to learn to love the word. Love the word. I encourage you, spend some time in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. When I first got saved, the Lord led me over to Psalm 119, and I so connected with it. As the psalmist just went on and on about his love for the word. If we're going to love anything, love the word. Now your flesh will tell you, I love pizza. I love chocolate. I love. The flesh will tell you all the things love. And many times people will give voice to that. And they'll just build that in themselves. But you need to give voice to what you're hearing today. And you need to begin to say, I love the word of God more than anything else. Do you have that in you? Now, you might not feel that way right now. But don't go by your feelings. Do you have that kind of faith in you? A love for God. A love for the truth. A love to be as pure as he is pure. Well, if you do, give voice to it. Give voice to it. And then what will happen? It'll begin to get on you. It'll get in your flesh. And next thing you know, your flesh will hunger after God. Your flesh will have been subdued and purified and brought into subjection to your spirit of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love the word. I love the truth more than anything else. I love the truth. I'm going to build my life. I am building my life on the Word of God. God's Word upholds everything. It's upholding me. It'll keep upholding me and preserve me and protect me and empower me to always triumph and to always win. Hallelujah! I love the Word. I love the Word. Hallelujah! Praise God. Stand on your feet and give God a shout of praise. Praise His Word. Praise Him. Glory to God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.